Support comes from Gemma, architects, planners, and designers seeking to bring joy to their clients and communities. Details at gemastl.com.
From the St. Louis Public Radio newsroom, this is The Gateway. It's Monday, June 10th. I'm Abby Larico. Missouri offers parents a pathway to drug rehabilitation programs as an alternative to foster care, but this tool hasn't been used consistently throughout the state.
And again, this is not a funding issue. It is not a statutory problem. It's a leadership failure.
Coming up on The Gateway, St. Louis Public Radio's Jason Rosenbaum explains why child welfare advocates and lawmakers are alarmed over the sparse use of a tool touted as an alternative to foster care. More than 30,000 fans cheered for the St. Louis Battlehawks on Sunday. But as St. Louis Public Radio's Lauren Brennecke reports, it wasn't enough to win the city its first football playoff game in over two decades.
The St. Louis Battlehawks fell to the San Antonio Brahmas in the UFL Conference Championship game. The Battlehawks trailed the Brahmas for the entire game, which ended 25-15. The Battlehawks won both of their regular season games against the team. It was Ronnie Washington's first St. Louis football game in 13 years. He says the Battlehawks have filled a void for football fans in the region.
It's changed my life, really. You know, I miss ever since the Rams left. It's kind of been a dark place in my heart, and it's back.
While the Battlehawks season is over, football in St. Louis is not. San Antonio returns to the Dome at America Center on June 16th to play the Birmingham Stallions in the UFL Championship game. I'm Lauren Brennecke, St. Louis Public Radio.
An effort to get federal funding for six St. Louisans living or working near nuclear waste hit a major roadblock Friday. I spoke with senior environmental reporter Kate Grumke about the expiration of the Radiation Exposure Compensation Act. Kate Grumke, what is RECA?
RECA stands for the Radiation Exposure Compensation Act. So this is a fund that was set up for people that are sick after exposure to the U.S.'s efforts to build a nuclear weapons program during World War II. So it's currently pretty narrow. It covers uranium industry workers and people downwind of nuclear tests, mostly in the western United States. But St. Louis was not part of the Radiation Exposure Compensation Act to begin with.
Missouri lawmakers on both sides of the aisle have been really working to get this not only extended, but expanded. Talk a little bit more about what they're looking to do.
That's right. So there's a big push right now to both extend the fund so that it doesn't expire and to expand it to include zip codes in Missouri. This would include parts near Coldwater Creek, near the Weldon Spring site, near the Westlake landfill. But then it also adds downwind communities in Guam, parts of the Navajo Nation, a lot of other states. And so there are a few different legislative efforts to do this. The Senate has passed a bill that would expand it. That was from Senator Josh Hawley. Our colleague, political correspondent Jason Rosenbaum, spoke with him, and he's really putting the blame on House Speaker Mike Johnson.
It's no excuse for the House of Mike Johnson to let this expire and just tell all of these people nationwide, no, good luck to you. You're on your own. Your government poisoned you. Your government lied to you. Thanks for your service. You're on your own. That is so wrong.
Just last week, we heard about another effort to expand and extend this legislation. So that came from Representatives Cori Bush and Ann Wagner. And what they're trying to do is amend the National Defense Authorization Act. And it's pretty similar legislation, but that's the avenue that they're trying to take.
Is there a chance that it's extended, but not necessarily expanded to include people in our area?
Yes. So I should also add there are a couple other proposals that people in D.C. are calling, quote unquote, clean RECA bills. And activists in St. Louis take major issue with that term because what it means is that these areas are not in that bill. And so there is a possibility that in order to save money, they extend this without adding the communities in St. Louis and other parts of the country that are currently left out.
You've been talking to a lot of advocates as well, Kate. How are they feeling about this?
The people who live near these sites and who think that they are sick from living near there are really upset about this right now. They feel really frustrated about the inability to get legislation over the finish line, especially as the Senate has passed two different pieces of legislation that would extend and expand this. I spoke with Dawn Chapman, who's a co-founder of Just Moms STL, and she's done a lot of advocacy on this and was especially frustrated that many members of Congress left without passing the bill last week to honor the anniversary of D-Day Friday.
The war has not ended for some communities in the United States. And yet they're over there paying homage when really they could be here saving lives.
By leaving and not passing anything, that's how we got here today with the bill expiring.
Right. So with all of that being said, what can happen now?
So Don Chapman described it to me as basically the lights went out on this fund and now we're running on a generator. So there's still some money left. This doesn't mean that the people who are currently covered will just automatically end the payments, but time is definitely running out. And so at this point, if the House is able to consider Hawley's bill or if they're able to amend the NDAA to get it that way, it's going to be to revive a dead program.
That was my conversation with senior environmental reporter Kate Grumke. A reform group is calling attention to what they say is an urgent need to improve Missouri prison health care conditions. Executive Director of Missouri Prison Reform, Lori Curry, says the organization has heard the concerns about health care conditions from people who are incarcerated, their families, and medical staff, with some issues expressed as recently as last week. Curry says in one case, it took 45 minutes for an inmate to be taken to a provider during an emergency.
Within a few minutes, sometimes, you know, somebody can pass when it could have been prevented. And so when people aren't getting medical care, it really can mean life or death for them.
Curry says she wants the Missouri Department of Corrections to publicly comment on this issue and find a new medical provider. The department said in a statement that the primary issue is a staffing shortage and that its facilities are accredited by the National Commission on Correctional Healthcare. A recent report showed child abuse investigators missed warning signs that parents were taking fentanyl before their children overdosed. As St. Louis Public Radio's Jason Rosenbaum explains, the report is prompting sharp questions about why Missouri's Children's Division isn't using a process to steer parents into rehabilitation programs.
Alicia Griffith and her family went through a wrenching experience about 8 years ago when her substance use disorder led to her daughters being placed in foster care. The Franklin County resident eventually got them back, but she recently relapsed. However, instead of her children going back into foster care, Griffith took advantage of a temporary alternative placement agreement, or TAPA. That's a voluntary plan between someone who may be addicted to drugs and Missouri's Children's Division. It involves a parent's child or children going to live with someone else, usually a relative, while they secure access to drug rehabilitation programs. Earlier this month, Griffith's TAPA was lifted, and she says it was a lifeline.
So they make sure you're set up and that you're not going to just fail again.
TAPAs were conceived as an alternative to placing children in foster care, which can be traumatic for both kids and their parents. But a recent report looking into child fentanyl overdoses from 2022 showed that TAPAs have been used inconsistently throughout the state since they became available in the middle of 2021. Between August 2021 and most of April 2024, Children's Division entered into 84 TAPAs in the region that includes St. Louis and St. Louis County. That's compared to 790 TAPAs in the Children's Division region that covers most of Southwest Missouri and 606 in a Northeast Missouri region that encompasses St. Charles and Lincoln counties. Children's Division Director Daryl Missy attributes the sparse use of TAPAs in St. Louis to staffing shortages. He says that a TAPA requires someone known as a family-centered service worker to monitor that a participant is following the arrangement.
You can't just say we're giving this child to grandma or some other relative and there you go. We have to open a family-centered service case. There were not enough people in St. Louis or Kansas City to have family-centered service workers at all. So if you can't open the case, you can't have a TAPA.
And it makes you want to bang your head against the wall because Missouri kids are hurting.
That's State Senator Mary Elizabeth Coleman. The Republican from Arnold played a big role in developing TAPAs when she was a member of the House. Coleman says Missy's comments don't hold water, especially since the legislature has boosted the amount of money for the Children's Division in recent years.
And again, this is not a funding issue. It is not a statutory problem. It's a leadership failure.
Others within the child welfare community are raising alarm about how the Children's Division actually handles TAPAs. Marcia Hazelhurst is the executive director of the Missouri Juvenile Justice Association, which represents, among other people, the state's juvenile officers. Those officials are responsible for starting the process for removing children from homes. She said the state's juvenile officers have run into situations where they've been asked to remove a child from a home after a TAPA failed and not know about the agreement.
I agree with Senator Coleman. You know, having staffing issues is, you know, not a justification for not doing the TAPAs and not notifying the juvenile officer.
Missy says that he's investigating Hazel Horst's claims. In the meantime, Griffith, the Franklin County mom who recently completed a TAPA, says she hopes people like her who have struggled with drug abuse can take advantage of a tool that has significantly helped her.
Like I said, we're seeing small changes, not overnight, but I'm seeing them and the benefits from everything. And I'm just really grateful right now for all of it. Honestly, I am.
State officials say TAPAs are more likely to happen in places like St. Louis now, since staffing levels have stabilized in recent months. I'm Jason Rosenbaum, St. Louis Public Radio.
The Gateway is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, a listener-supported service of the University of Missouri, St. Louis. Music by Ryan McNeely of Adult Fur. I'm Abby Larico, and from the St. Louis Public Radio newsroom, this has been The Gateway.